Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire podcast is being recorded and aired for July 30th, 2022. Getting very close to August tomorrow, and then we'll be moving into the fall, and I love the fall. The fall is one of my very favorite times of year. It has all sorts of wonderful implications for the old Gregory here. He just loves Halloween, as most of you know. If you're getting close to the fall, that he just loves Halloween very, very much. And pretty soon, when we're doing podcasts and video casts for October, you'll get to see some of my witches that I love. It's a sickness. So anyway, that'll happen next week after. Tomorrow's the 31st, so it won't be happening until a little later on, but I hope you will enjoy those Halloween decorations. We're going to talk about what to expect from a spiritual practice, and this is really an interesting subject to me, because a lot of people merely go in, most of the people merely go in to a spiritual practice for one of a couple of reasons. One, to get something fixed in their life. And women usually drag their poor husbands into the process of an authentic spiritual practice, meditating, making them come to workshops and retreats when they don't really want to be there, but it's to fix them. I have this all the time. And the other one is the social part of it, getting together with close friends, and you become close in an authentic spiritual practice. You just do. You become very close because it's like being in war. There were a band of brothers there. So what can you expect? Well, if you go into it with those two things in mind, you'll get nothing out of it. Maybe, you know, friendship and some cookies and an annoying amount of donations that are made for coming to workshops and stuff. But it's just, there is no end to the stupidity of people. Just no end at all. So I don't bother to try to alleviate all of that, because I can't. It's not in my power. What I do is I offer disciplines, practice, proven ancient methods of spiritual awakening. And why don't they work on my students, you ask? Because they don't apply them at all. They're lazy. They're indifferent. And while I love them dearly, they have no spiritual inclination at all. And you have to have some sense of the ilk of wanting to awaken spiritually. So, with this in mind, I get questions. I hope I was direct enough there for you. This first question comes from Edgar. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, I am confused, Greg. You work very hard to pitch a spiritual practice. But I have to ask myself, what am I going to get for this practice you pitch? Edgar, my darling, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you live. I know nothing. But I can tell you this, I'm not pitching anything. And if you think that that's what I'm doing, you're not fit for the work and for the practice. It is not something that I would recommend for someone like you. But you have to understand, this is not a slap in the face. It is simply trying to save you the aggravation of trying to get involved in something you're not prepared to be involved in. And that is something of a practice, believe it or not, because if you can be honest with yourself and say, I don't give a damn about a spiritual practice. I want my beer, I want my football, and I want my woman, and I want good grub, and I want money, and that's as far as it goes. I don't care what happens to me after death. I only care about what I think is happening to me in this life right now. Now, with that mentality, which many people have, they don't mature very well into any kind of awakening. So you don't have the, what do we say, the ilk for this practice. Most people don't. 9 out of 10 people can't do it. Because the moment you start getting to a place where you are going to be more skeptical of your ego and your pride and your vanity than you are me and what I'm trying to teach you, the more you're going to find pushback. And the pushback will be from your body and your friends and your ego. And when this pushback starts pushing hard, because you have no sense of the gravitas of your life and the meaning and the power of your circumstance in this world and what is going on within your lifetime as a matter of, it's really the way we live our life. It's really about the whole effort of vengeance and pride. We live off of that. And not only that, there is consequence. So with all of that pride and vengeance and self-righteousness and all of that stuff, Edgar, that most human beings get involved in, they're not fit for the practice at all. And you shouldn't even be considering an authentic spiritual practice at all. You need to do whatever you need to go do until you can't do it anymore. You have to understand what Lhasa meant, the great Tao teacher. He was a beautiful man, I imagine. He said, you have to be sick of your sickness. And by the tone of your email, which I didn't read in totality, I would say you're pretty skeptical. And you would probably be doing a half-hearted effort in going into an authentic practice. You couldn't do it anyway because there is no payoff. I've had many, many students, most all of them, as I said earlier, that come into the work to fix something in their life, and they're skeptical. They want things done well in the sense of drawing to themselves money. That's usually the big one. And women drawing to themselves a man, which is money, and doing all the things that we think benefit our human carcass and our human mentality. So understand this, Edgar. An authentic spiritual practice demeans to the ego. The ego itself, and it doesn't bring about any kind of insight or compassion for the sake of love. It is impossible to do inner work with a person who is more prone to what they can get and how much they can have than what they are and discovering what it means to be authentic, really authentic in love. We are less interested in love than we would even imagine. The love we want is gratification. And we want a certification for our gratification. The certification comes from the idea of whatever we're doing is producing some kind of happiness or some kind of money or some kind of something to make our life feel productive and good, and that we've got this thing by the balls. And that's the way we like to think. I want to have my life the way I want to have my life. But in an authentic spiritual practice, that is not the way it works. The way it works is you move into the flow of life, and believe it or not, it's a mystical experience that cannot be predicted. Who knows how it's going to turn out? And if you care about how it's going to turn out, then it doesn't work. Most of our life is spent trying to clean up the consequences of the way we have lived both in this world and previous worlds. And we don't really care about anything else other than getting what we want. And that's the American way, and that is why there's war and famine and poverty and all sorts of things, because we just simply do not get it. So I would say, Edgar, you're not capable of an authentic spiritual practice right now. You're capable of philosophy, the philosophy you can accept, the philosophy you can believe in, the philosophy that maybe turns on the button where you don't feel as skeptical about whatever it is you're doing. You're not meditating, you're analyzing, you're visualizing, you're fantasizing. You're doing affirmations to try to change your mind, which can't be changed. None of that ever works. People like to think it does, but it doesn't. The karma is still there. You're not dealing with it in that venue. So what I'm saying to you is, go away, little boy. You need more difficulties in your life. And I say that with all due respect. You need as many difficulties as you can find to make your life as whatever it is. And then when you're beaten up and you can't see your hand anymore due to the blurriness of being clobbered all the time by life on the head with coconuts of karma, then you'll be ready in a more humble way to realize the awakening that awaits you. And it is quite beautiful. Thank you, Edgar. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one from Terry. This one is from San Pedro, California. How will my life change for the best in a practice such as yours, Terry? Here we go again with the same old thing. You know, how am I? What am I going to get for what I do or give or whatever? Your life. It depends on how you define your life. What is a life, Terry, to you? Are you talking about your outer life and the way things come and go in and out? Is that what you're talking about? What are you talking about, your life? I don't know if I know what you mean. If you mean your circumstances and conditions, will they change? Well, probably not. Let's take a look at Buddha for a moment. He was Siddhartha. He lived in riches. He lived in wealth. He had wives. He didn't have one wife. He had many wives. He had many children. He was going great. And then he decided for himself that he was going to overcome old age, sickness, and death, which he never did. But he was convinced that that's what he had to do. So what does he do? He leaves his fertile grounds of comfort and goes out into the wilderness and eats bird poop and sits under trees and goes through the great, shall we say, austerity of not pampering himself and not having a very, shall we say, outerly good life. But he awakened. He did awaken. And his goodness turned into, not to Buddhism, but into love, poured into love. And that was an amazing thing. One of the greatest gifts ever given to the world. Let's look at Jesus, born just like anybody else, of a woman, please. And struggled through very hot days in that part of the country. And for all of his work and all of his efforts, he gets crucified in a very hostile environment, in a very cruel way for everything he taught and everything he did and the people that he most helped turned on him. Now, what do you think? That was his outcome. Makes you wonder about what your own outcome is going to be, doesn't it? Nothing is the way I think it is, and judging according to appearances is a very big mistake indeed. I gotta go. Terry, if you need more, you know you can call me anytime. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I got more wonderful questions, and if you're interested in having me answer a question, My email is greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a wonderful day. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste.